Using bad language would be good for a few slaps on the wrist, but what did I care? Strong language was needed to give light to the blind patriots of Ford County. Before the flood of calls and letters, though, I made a friend. When I returned from Thursday lunch with Miss Callie, lamb stew indoors by the fire, Bubba Crockett was waiting in my office. He wore jeans, boots, a flannel shirt, long hair, and after he introduced himself, he thanked me for the editorial. He had some things he wanted to get off his chest, and since I was as stuffed as a Christmas turkey, I placed my feet on my desk and listened for a long time. He had grown up in Clanton, finished school here in 1966. His father owned the nursery 2 miles south of town. They were landscapers. He got his draft notice in 1967 and gave no thought to doing anything other than racing off to fight communists. His unit landed in the South just in time for the Tet Offensive. 2 days on the ground, and he had lost 3 of his closest friends. The horror of fighting could not accurately be described, though Bubba was descriptive enough for me. Men burning, screaming for help, tripping over body parts, dragging bodies off the battlefield, hours with no sleep, no food, running out of ammo, seeing the enemy crawl toward you at night. His battalion lost 100 men in the first 5 days. "After a week, I knew I was going to die," he said with wet eyes. "At that point, I became a pretty good soldier. You got to reach that point to survive." He was wounded twice, slight wounds that were treatable in field hospitals, nothing that would get him home. He talked of the frustration of fighting a war that the government would not allow them to win. "We were better soldiers," he said, "and our equipment was vastly superior. Our commanders were superb, but the fools in Washington wouldn't let them fight a war." Bubba knew the Mooney family and had begged Pete not to go. He had watched the burial service from a distance, and he cursed everybody he could see and many he could not. "These idiots around here still support the war. Can you believe that?" he said. "More than 50,000 dead, and now we're pulling out, and these people will argue with you on the streets of Clanton that it was a great cause." "They don't argue with you," I said. "They do not. I punched a couple of them." "You play poker?" I did not, but I had heard many colorful stories about various poker games around town. Quickly, I thought this might be interesting. "A little," I said, figuring I could either find a rule book or get Baggy to teach me. "We play on Thursday nights in a shed at the nursery. Several guys who fought over there. You might enjoy it."
"Tonight?"
"Yeah, around 8. It's a small game. Some beer, some pot, some war stories. My buddies want to meet you."
"I'll be there," I said, wondering where I could find Baggy.
4 letters were slid under the door that afternoon, all 4 scathing in their criticism of me and my criticism of the war. Mr. E.L. Green, a veteran of 2 wars and a longtime subscriber to the Times, though that might soon change, said, among other things, "If we don't stop communism, it will spread to every corner of the world. One day it will be at our doorstep, and our children and grandchildren will ask us why we didn't have the courage to stop it before it spread." Mr. Herbert Gillenwater's brother was killed in the Korean conflict. He wrote, "His death was a tragedy I still struggle with each day. But he was a soldier, a hero, a proud American, and his death helped stop the North Koreans and their allies, the Red Chinese and the Russians. When we are too afraid to fight, then we will ourselves be conquered." Mr. Felix Tolliver from down in Shady Grove suggested that perhaps I'd spent too much time up north where folks were notoriously gun-shy. He said the military had always been dominated by brave young men from the South, and if I didn't believe it, then I should do some more research. There were a disproportionate number of Southern casualties in Korea and Vietnam. He concluded rather eloquently, "Our freedom was bought at the terrible price of the lives of countless brave soldiers. But what if we had been too afraid to fight? Hitler and the Japanese would still be in power. Much of the civilized world would be in ruins. We would be isolated and eventually destroyed." I planned to run every single letter to the editor,
but I hoped there might be one or two in support of my editorial. The criticism didn't bother me at all. I felt strongly that I was right, and I was developing a rather thick skin, a fine asset for an editor. After Baggy's quick tutelage, I lost $100 playing poker with Bubba and the boys. They invited me back. There were five of us around the table, all in our mid-20s. Three had served in Vietnam. Bubba, Daryl Radke, whose family owned the propane company, and Cedric Young, a black guy with a severe leg injury. The fifth player was Bubba's older brother, David, who had been rejected by the draft because of his eyesight, and who I think was there just for the marijuana. We talked a lot about drugs. None of the three veterans had seen or heard of pot or anything else prior to joining the Army. They laughed at the idea of drugs on the streets of Clanton in the 1960s. In Vietnam, drug use was rampant. Pot was smoked when they were bored and homesick, and it was smoked to calm their nerves in battle. The field hospitals loaded up the injured with the strongest painkillers available, and Cedric got hooked on morphine 2 weeks after being wounded. At their urging, I told a few drug stories from college, but I was an amateur among professionals. I don't think they were exaggerating. No wonder we lost the war. Everybody was stoned. They expressed great admiration for my editorial and great bitterness for having been sent over there. Each of the three had been scarred in some way. Cedric's was obvious. Bubba's and Daryl's was more of a smoldering anger, a barely contained rage and desire to lash out. But at whom? Late in the game, they began swapping stories of gruesome battlefield scenes. I had heard that many soldiers refused to talk about their war experiences. Those three didn't mind at all. It was therapeutic. They played poker almost every Thursday night, and I was always welcome. When I left them at midnight, they were still drinking, still smoking pot, still talking about Vietnam. I'd had enough of the war for one day.